We continue with candidates running for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 5th Congressional District. That is the northern parts, the Castleton area, Keystone at the Crossing, parts of Washington Township that dip all the way down to below Broad Ripple, parts of Pike Township, northwestern Pike Township, all of Hamilton County, the eastern part of Boone County, all of Madison Tipton, Grant County, part of Blackford, part of Howard. Sean Denny is another one of the Democratic candidates running in the 5th Congressional District, and he joins me live. Mr. Denny, welcome.
Thank you, Amos, for having me here today.
I'm glad to have you. So why are you running?
Well, I started thinking about this back last year, and right now we have a 17-month-old. He just turned 18 months old, a 7-year-old, and I have a 15-year-old. And I think about their opportunities and what they're going to have in front of them and what they're going to do with their lives. And then I think back to me when I was that little, and I remember my father. He worked at Chrysler in Newcastle. I'm from Newcastle, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And he worked there for 32 years. And then during a period of layoffs, he started a small business, which he continues to run today. And that small business and that job at the UAW provided for me to go to college. It's provided for my brother. It's helped with our grandkids, or his grandkids, excuse me. And I then think back to my 18-month-old, and I wonder if that same opportunity will be there for him. Mm-hmm. And this, for me to want to promote him and advocate for him, opened up, and I thought, you know, this is the best way for me to do that for him, to promote my son.
If you're elected to Congress, what would you be doing differently than the current member of Congress? What would your priorities be?
Well, this district, I think you mentioned it earlier, is a very diverse district. You went through the geographic boundaries, and it also has a huge difference in economic demographics. And I think we need to promote the whole district, not just look at certain sections of it and think about what can we do here as what's called the job creators, I think some people refer to them as, but the whole district as a whole. This district represents entrepreneurs. It represents small business owners. It represents skilled labor. And economic development is not a zero-sum game where if one person is doing well, that means somebody else must be doing poorly. It truly is a situation when everyone comes together that the whole economy of the district improves.
In terms of as you've gone around and talked to voters, what are the issues they're bringing to you?
Some of the big issues are job creation and education. Education in our district has to be paramount and number one, because it's almost which comes first, you know, the job or the education. But you have to have a strong educational base to attract those jobs. That seems to be a big one. And then trickled in there is voter disenfranchisement. We've talked a little bit about that. That doesn't get hit as much, but it is becoming a bigger issue.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We're talking with Sean Denny. He's running for the Democratic nomination in Congressional District 5. That's Congress. Right. That's federal. Let me go to Buck on the line. Hi, Buck.
Hey, how you doing, Amos? I love your show. I always listen to you.
Thank you.
The guy was actually what my comment was, but it's basically, because any congressperson I could answer is, was more along the lines when the guy was talking about the veterans. You know, and I just thought about the mentality of, you know, the whole United States, the whole mentality is once I'm done with you, I throw you away, and I'm done with you. And it's kind of like how they do with the veterans. So I'm thinking, you know, what is it that they can do in Congress that could make it so that there are certain things you just cannot mess with? You know, like, for example, you should not be able to mess with any of the money that's dealing with the veterans. And what, because they didn't already serve the country. They didn't make it so we are and did what they did. So it's kind of like, why? It's kind of like you having a retirement fund and you get all your money and all of a sudden they get done with you and say, oh, well, we're going to take your money since you retire. We're going to keep it from you. And it's kind of like what they do with the veterans. So what can they do in Congress to make it so that those things that are important like that, that they just can't mess with and take money from?
That's a great question because, you know, within the next year or so, all of our service personnel that have been in Afghanistan will be home. And I think this is something that Vietnam veterans have complained about, right. The Korean and World War II veterans have complained mm-hmm. about, and this seems to be getting worse. And have you heard it as you've gone around the district?
Well, it's a very real issue, what he's referring to. The budget that was proposed by the other party came with a 1% cut in veterans benefits. And that forced some veterans to have to go back to work. some disabled veterans that maybe were counting on that check, made their financial plan with their financial advisor based on that retirement benefit, and then suddenly saw that cut. The best advice I can give is go vote. Make sure you're registered coming up for the primary, and make sure you're registered and vote November. And vote for the candidates that are focused on promoting and preserving veterans' benefits and Social Security.
Are there things, because again, in the 5th District, you've got Anderson that's been through a whole lot. You've got Marion that's been through a whole lot. The areas in Tipton and Howard and Blackford County have been through a whole lot, just like we have older neighborhoods here in Marion County that have been through a whole lot. Are there things that the federal government can do to provide real incentives to encourage jobs to move not into older neighborhoods of our country, in our state? Because if we don't build up these older neighborhoods, we're going to have a problem.
Well, one of the things we need to do is promote a fair trade and a balanced approach to that, and say, you know, we have some great people here in the 5th District that are eager to work, that have the skills. And if there's some retooling that's necessary, let's take a look at that and see what we need to do in order to attract those factories and the individuals here. If you mentioned other parts of the district, Anderson is a great success story. We're seeing some of President Obama's help with the UAW and with the Chrysler coming back there, and some of the factories about to open. We see Kokomo, Mayor Goodnight there did an excellent job in promoting the UAW and the Chrysler plant there. So there are some things that need to be done, and it has to be done in partnership with the mayors and the trustees at the local level as well.
In as you've gone around and talked to people in the 5th Congressional District, have they brought issues to your attention that you weren't expecting that surprised you?
I'll tell you what's really surprised me the most is that I've ran into local candidates who I think are just amazingly qualified, but yet they're not getting elected. And so we talk often, even if it's the local level, where we have a Democrat candidate that is wanting to be the coroner in Grant County. And she has a strong medical background, whereas her opponent, I don't believe, has a medical background. So it's these issues as to why, you know, we're in some places we're fielding better candidates, but we're not seeing them getting elected.
As you've talked to voters, is it dawned on people yet that there's an election this year?
It's coming. There are people that are starting to think, wait a minute, are there two? I'm surprised I have this conversation sometimes. But yes, there is going to be a primary in May, and then we see another election in November. And that we're going to have those two elections this year. You know, where it's an off-year election. There's not a governor's race. There's not a presidential race. So, some people do miss that. That's the short answer.
That's the short answer. Healthcare reform.
Yes.
That was it. There's a simple
answer. That just okay.
but in terms of that, obviously here in Indiana, we didn't do Medicaid expansion. The numbers will probably be 70 to 80,000 signed up for the Affordable Care Act. Obviously that's going to be an issue in this campaign. Are you fearful of campaigning supporting healthcare reform?
Oh, I'm not fearful of it at all. That is something that we should support and continue to support. It doesn't make sense to me where we'll spend the same money and insure less people than we would had Indiana accepted the Affordable Care Act. And so that those numbers just don't make sense to me. And thinking back to I know an individual who is approaching 65. He's a couple years short of going on Medicare, and he fell and broke his leg. And you know, this individual owned his own home, married for I think 40-some years, owned his own vehicle. It owned everything that he had, didn't have any debt, but he fell and broke his leg. Well, he had had a prior condition some 20 years before, and it made his health insurance close to $1,800 a month before Affordable Care came out. But by him breaking his leg, now without insurance, he has a bill to go to the hospital. He has the ambulance transportation. While he was there, he ended up with a blood clot and had to be flown into Indianapolis with the Lifeline. Anyway, he's now facing choices where he has to mortgage everything to pay for these medical bills, or, you know, file bankruptcy. And, mm-hmm. and these aren't financial choices that somebody should be making because of an accident.
Social Security. That's the next Congress down the road is going to have to deal with that. How would you deal with Social Security, making sure that it's there for the people now and sure. down the road for those that are younger?
Social Security, there's a lot of simple fixes that can be done, and it is finding the right balance with those fixes. I think one of them that's been proposed is upping, and I don't know if it's $90,000 or $105,000 right now, but the cap when most people stop putting into Social Security, that alone would help with the solvency of Social Security. One of the other issues that I think Social Security faces that's not often discussed is that if somebody something happens to someone before they're turned 65, mm-hmm. that you've been paying in, if you've worked for 40 or 45 years, you've been paying into Social Security for a long time, but that pay-in's not inheritable just as if you had paid into an IRA. So is there a way maybe to allow a family member to recapture what has been paid into Social Security?
Are there things we can cut from federal spending to be able to reduce the deficit but still provide services that are necessary for the American people?
The one of the larger expenditures right now in the budget is the debt, and that's interest on the debt. And you can pull it up on the internet and see various different numbers. In some places I see it says 15%, some others it's 21%. That has to be reduced, and how to reduce that interest. And it's a tough issue to do, and at the same time wanting to invest in infrastructure, wanting to continue to promote jobs programs and helping people to get great jobs and working. What we can do, I think, is look at where that interest goes and see if we can't use the interest to help working families. Like right now, I believe you can only buy $5,000 or $10,000 in savings bonds. Well, if you were able to buy a higher amount, if a family member was able to buy a higher amount, well, then we could use that interest and have it coming back to American families inside of the United States versus being distributed outside of the country.
239-1310. It's Afternoon's Amos. We're talking with Sean Denny. He is one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for the 5th Congressional District. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Sean Denny in our 2 p.m. hour. A group has been meeting for several months, including law enforcement officers, grassroots groups, folks that are out here dealing with youth, with ex-offenders, with neighborhoods, on coming up with a plan to prevent and reduce crime. We'll talk to them in our second hour. All that and a lot more. Oh, on Friday, we'll talk to the governor. That's the day after he is, I guess, signed 195. He's going to have a tired hand signing all those bills. And we'll talk to him, find out what's going on with him. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. A week from Thursday, it is the St. Jude Radiothon. Look forward to that. Oh, next Tuesday, we will key on the 7th Congressional District. And next Tuesday and Wednesday, we will have candidates running in the Republican primary. See, we're bipartisan here. The Republican primary for 7th Congressional District. And then on the following week, the week of the 8th, candidates in the Democratic primary for the 7th Congressional District. 239-1310 is our number. We're with Sean Denny. He is one of the candidates running in the 5th Congressional District in the Democratic primary. Given that it is so difficult to get anything done in Washington, why you want to do this job? You can stay at home. You got a child that's a toddler and running all over the house. You obviously are a family man. Why would you even want to do the thing and go somewhere in Washington where they can't even agree on the time of day?
And I've been asked that question several times. The answer it does go back to them and also the students that are in my classroom. I like to mention –
So you're a teacher?
I am. I started a second career as a teacher, started teaching at IPS in 2010, and now I've switched schools since then. Taught at Shortridge, actually, for a couple of years. Love that school. And but anyway, I started teaching, and I think back about anniversaries, and you know, I talk about different anniversaries. Well, 25 years ago, I believe it was this year, was the invention of the World Wide Web. So not the internet, that's different, but the World Wide Web. And if you think about the uses we have of the World Wide Web, well, my 18-month-old, he is, you know, that's here, that's part of his life, but things that he's going to be competing for, the jobs that he's going to be thinking about, haven't even been invented yet, haven't even been thought about. And if nothing else, I can provide a voice for the individuals who are looking for creativity, looking for new jobs, and for the teacher in the classroom. One of the things that we see with this whole movement on educational reform is asking us to hold our teachers accountable. We should hold it. But now that I've worked with teachers, I'm amazed at how accountable they hold themselves. Mm-hmm. It just really is amazing. And so we really need to be asking ourselves, how can we be accountable to our teachers? How can we do things for them to help them in their classroom?
Are there things, you know, we in this country want the federal government to do certain things, and we get real nervous when the federal government does things that we think they have no business, particularly on education or education at the local level. You're in a classroom. What, from your point of view, what are the proper things that the feds can do for education that can help our teachers, help our kids, and is not somebody in Washington saying this is what you got to teach?
Well, as you're referring to the individuals in Washington, if we look way back to No Child Left Behind and Nation at Risk, some of the things that are happening now in education come from those documents, and some of them are the one document was made, I believe, it was 1984. So it refers to what needs to happen in education and then provide some funding for that. Now, we have Title I funding. We have Title V funding. And so you can promote inside of the classroom how to do things. But you're exactly right. You know, at the state level, the standards is a state level issue. Charter schools, all that, those are state level issues that at the federal level we won't get into.
One of the other things that has been a big issue in many parts of the 5th Congressional District, you know, and it started with a lot of the automotive manufacturing jobs that went overseas. You know, what can we do as a country to bring jobs back home? Or if we can't bring our American jobs back home, get more overseas companies to have us make things in Indiana. Heck with the other states. I want everything to come here.
Well, not to sound like a broken record, but again, it does go back to education somewhat. And we talk about, you know, the iPhone, and the large portion of the iPhone is actually manufactured in Germany. It'll say made in China on it, I believe. But a large portion of it's manufactured in Germany because of the skilled labor and the parts and the little things that go along with that. If you go right now, we do a lot of shopping at Costco. It's not a plug for Costco. It's just where we go. And we look at where things are grown, where they are made. And we know that if I buy a strawberry made in the USA, it has gone through the USDA checks. It is certified, and it's ready to go and ready for my family. So looking the simplest things, just look where things are made and manufactured.
Our standard closing question with all candidates is, if people want more information about your campaign, he's Sean Denny. That's DENNEY.
Correct.
Not the guy with the store. This is the Denny, this teacher, and wants more information about his campaign. How do they get a hold of you?
It's simple. Just go to the website, which is www.dennyforcongress.com. Right now, I think that the website will link you over to our Facebook page as well. So just go there. And all the information about the campaign, upcoming debates, it's all posted right there. And remember to go vote. That's another big
issue. So it's Denny, F-O-R.
Yes.
For Congress, DENNEYFOR, Congress.com. He's one of three Democrats running in the 5th Congressional District. The 5th Congressional District that includes the northern parts of Marion County, like Castleton, like the Keystone of the Crossing area, Nora. The area around Traders Point, the area around the pyramids, and it even kind of goes down by Second Presbyterian Church, down into Broad Ripple and Sobro. That sounds like a black neighborhood. It really isn't. That's South Broad Ripple. As well as parts of Boone County, Howard County, and Blackford County, and all of Hamilton County, Madison County, Tipton County, and Grant County. And he's running in the primary. There's actually three candidates. David Ford is the third candidate. We never heard from him, Chris.
Just thought I'd mention, we invited all three. The letter did not come back. And, you know, hopefully we'll see Mr. Ford, you know, down the way. Sean Denny, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Amos. Appreciate it.